is your land, and this land is my land. From California to New York Island, from the Redwood Forest and the Gulf Stream waters, this land is made for you and me.
Whenever you hear somebody exclaim how beautiful Oregon is, please tell them it's because of Oregon's land use laws.
I roamed and rambled and I followed my footsteps.
Good morning. This is Wednesday, May 4th, 2022, and you are listening to Keeping Oregon, Oregon. And I am your host, Aileen Kay. We air the first Wednesday of every month for 30 minutes in the 8 a.m. hour, repeating in the 6 p.m. hour. We are part of KMUZ's Willamette Wake Up Team. We focus on Oregon's land use planning system and also on sustainability issues. Due to COVID protocols, we are still conducting this interview by telephone. Our engineer today is Mark Albert. Thank you, Mark. I want to preface our show today by letting you know that we will have two 15-minute interviews today instead of one 30-minute interview. We will first speak with someone who gets tons, literally, of produce off of just 5 acres. And then we will speak with a representative of the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. Our first guest is Goethe Schifferer, a small farmer in South Marion County. I know Goethe because she lives down the road from me. And for years, I have bought flowers, fruits, and vegetables. And she has a really nice stand there where you can buy these things called Cloverdale flowers. I've always been totally impressed that she can get such a high product yield on just 5 acres of land. And I've always wanted to talk to her about this, and this is the perfect chance. So it proves that we can grow things on even just 5 acres. So, Goethe, welcome to our show, Keeping Oregon, Oregon.
Well, thank you, Aileen. Thank you for having me on your show today. I appreciate that.
Good. Can you tell our listeners how long you have lived in South Marion County?
I have lived here for 69 years. All in the same neighborhood, the Cloverdale area, south of Salem.
That is really something. And I think you had mentioned since 1893 that relatives have been here, your husband's relatives. And I remember about a year or two, well, it must have been before COVID, that there was a big local celebration for you and your husband, who passed away a few years ago. And it was to honor all that he has done and that you have done for the area. And I think there were a lot of interesting photographs, as I recall. Is that true? And where are those photographs now?
Well, a lot of them are with our family. Some of them we have given to the school, Cloverdale School, and I believe some are even down in Turner. But a lot of them my children have. And, yes, I would like to mention that this celebration was at Cloverdale School for my husband Carl's 90th birthday. Uh-huh. And then 9 months later he passed away. But he was born on the farm, on the original farm, Valley View Fruit Farms. His family settled here in 1893, and we now have fifth-generation great-grandchildren going to Cloverdale School. So we've been around here for a while in this same neighborhood.
Right. That is so neat. And I want our listeners to know that there was a large, large tract of farmland that long ago was subdivided, way before Senate Bill 100, that is more careful now about leaving large tracts of land, farmland, intact for farming. So how long have you lived on this 5 acres?
Well, we have lived here for 32 years. The family bought it in 1984, and it was actually part of the dairy that is now the big dairy close to us, and the parents lived here, and then they subdivided this piece of land for one of their sons to live here, the Petersons. That was their name.
Oh, I didn't know they were related. Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
And when did you start growing things on these 5 acres?
Well, we always have. And when my husband was alive, the farm really produced a lot of hay because we fertilized. And we produced about, I checked with my family, between 8 and 10 tons of hay on this property. But now I have it rented out, and people make hay on it, but they don't fertilize like we used to, and so the production is way down.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay. And they use their own machinery then to harvest the hay. Yes.
That's right. They come in and take care of that for us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good, good. And can you tell our listeners all the things that you have grown on that 5 acres?
Oh, we have had lots of vegetables, especially tomatoes, beets, and squash, and corn, and just lots of vegetables that we had on the stand. And now, due to my age, I had to slow down, so we don't raise a lot of vegetables for the stand anymore, but we still do for our family and to give away, yes.
And the flowers are very impressive because you grow the different varieties depending on the season. So it would be neat just to take photographs for a calendar, you know, to say with the months, because the flowers that you grow exactly go with what month it is and what types of flowers grow with the change in the temperature as it goes from spring through fall.
We usually start in March, Aileen, with the daffodils, and we have many varieties, and we try to get new ones all the time, and they last for about 6 weeks because they come on at a different time, and then tulips, and then we have also lilacs and peonies and sweet williams and annuals, and I used to have a lot of mums, too, but not anymore. I just finish up now when the frost comes, which is usually in October.
It's always been amazing to see the quality. The flowers last and last. They're very strong. They are just gorgeous. Also, a thing that is very interesting about this is that you work on the honor system. You have this nice stand out a little bit out from the road, and you have the signs about how much everything is, and you have everything in vases wrapped in plastic and a jar for people to put the money. And I don't think there's ever been anybody who's taken the vases, anybody who's not paid or anything. It's just so neat.
Well, it's been really good the last few years, but we did start with the stand closer to the road, and we had a little vandalism and a few things happening. So we moved to stands farther back, and now we have absolutely no problems.
Good. Yes.
Working well.
I remember about 15 years ago, there was vandalism of the mailboxes and all that, and then I don't know who was doing it, but whenever they left, it didn't happen anymore, so it was probably the same people. And then I know that you have had some contracts with supermarkets, and can you talk about how that came about?
I started selling flowers the end of 1950s. And I started selling flowers to the previous owner of Vista Market, that is now Ross Fresh Market on Commercial Street. And then Orville Roth bought it, and Orville Roth and I knew each other all these years until he passed away. You know, he was always quality, and that's why I guess I lasted with him 60-plus years.
Wow.
Because our flowers are put together nicely, and we try to sell things that are just at their prime. This is how it came about, and it's still going at this time.
And it's so neat because in Oregon, we pride ourselves in farm to market. And
yeah.
It's neat that you can market even to a big grocery store outfit.
Yes.
It's really neat.
Yes, when we were up at the farm, we used to sell a lot of cherries to Ross Market, too, black cherries for eating. So, yes, that they were always really welcome.
And I go past your place all the time when I go into Salem, and you're always out there, morning, noon, and night. And I go, how does she do it? But do you think that all this outdoor activity has lengthened your life?
I really believe it has, because I feel that we are commanded by God to be good stewards of our land and to make the best and grow things and do and help and do us for others. And so I just feel so blessed every day when I can get up in the morning. I have something to get up for every morning and go out there and listen to my birds and start working in the flowers. So God has really blessed me with all this. And I just celebrated my 88th birthday.
Wow.
So,
congratulations. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
And speaking of the birds, I think you did put some bluebird houses up.
Yes, we have birds. We have bluebirds for quite a few years. We have bluebird houses. We even put two of them up at Cloverdale Cemetery, and they are occupied.
Oh, that's fabulous, because you don't see them that often.
No, but the birds, that's all the animals I have now. It's just birds are easy. I used to love to raise lambs, and we also raised some lambs on this property in the summer months after the hay was gone. I forgot that. And then we put the rams down here when they needed to be away from the mama sheep. So, yes, we had sheep on this property, too.
That's great. And one of the main reasons I'm glad that you did come on the show is to illustrate to listeners that even small parcels can be extremely productive. Because I watch everything with, I don't know if you know this, I watch everything with Marion County, all the permits that come in, and sometimes for people who just want to build houses, and they go, oh, that's, you can't do anything with that 5 acres or that 7 acres. And so you are proof that you can do valid, productive farming, even on 5 acres. So thank you so much for being on today. And unfortunately, we are at our time limit for this morning. And I want our listeners to know that you've been listening to Keeping Oregon, Oregon. And we've been speaking with Gerta Schiffer, small farmer in South Marion County. And if anybody wants to call you, I didn't ask you this before. I don't know if you want to give out your number or if you want people to call me or if you want to give your number out or anything.
Well, my address is 9445 Parish Gap Road, near the Cloverdale School, and it's Turner, Oregon, 97392. And thank you very much, Aileen, for having me. That was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Thank you very much, Gerda.
Hope to see you soon.
Okay, you will. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
And again, for our listeners, this is Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. You're listening to Keeping Oregon, Oregon. I am your host, Aileen Kay. And for the second half of this show, we are very pleased to be speaking with Dave Bedeau, Secretary Treasurer, Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. Dave is a retired wildlife biologist. Dave and his wife, Anita, have resided near Turner since 2003. Dave first became aware of the value and services provided by the Marion, I'm going to be calling it SWCD, about 15 years ago while implementing an NRCH, which, and I'm not sure what that is. What is that, Dave?
NRCS is Natural Resource Conservation Service, and we have a conservation easement. It's called a WRP, which is another acronym, a Wetland Reserve Program. So we enrolled a portion of our property in the Wetland Reserve Program.
Oh, fabulous. Okay. And as a way to give back, Dave volunteered to serve as a technical reviewer for the Marion Soil Water Conservation District's Landowner Assistance Program, which allowed him to learn even more about the many services and activities offered by the district. And Dave served as an associate director of the MSWCD board for the previous 2 years before being elected as director of Zone 4 in fall of 2020. And that's when I kind of met him, when he was running and I saw him on the ballot. And so I want to know, who is this? And Dave is a native Oregonian and an unquestionable fan of OSU. Oh, I do want to say that Marion Soil Water and Conservation District is a very valuable resource, and so many people don't know about it. And in fact, the week before, somebody from Polk Soil Water and Conservation District was interviewed. And I'm very glad that KMUZ is airing shows that help advertise this wonderful district that so many people don't know about. It's such a valuable resource for people. So can you please let our listeners know about two special events coming up?
Yes, I mean, we hope to have people learn more about what the MSWCD does, and we actually have a couple of events coming up this week. One of them is Friday, May 6th, and it's called the First Friday Event. And what that is, we get a subject matter expert, a different one each month, to come in at noon and does a seminar. It's about 45 minutes long, so this Friday will be noon to 12:45. It is free. It'll be Zoom this Friday, so you have to join online. And to get a Zoom invitation, you do need to RSVP. So go to the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District website and register if you're interested. It is going to be, the subject matter is going to be using water more efficiently. And the expert is Owen Dell, who has authored a book just about that, using water more efficiently on your landscape. And the other thing is this Saturday, May 7th, is up at Silver Falls State Park. They're having a Mother's Day Birding and Wildflower Festival. District staff is going to be there to answer questions from people and talk about native plants. And I think that the Friends of Silver Falls State Park are even going to have some native plants on sale on Saturday as well.
And do you know what building that'll be in?
I do not. I do know that it runs from 10 to 4, but I don't know exactly which building it is in.
Okay. And so, but Silver Falls State Park must have a website that would tell people that. I'm sure it is. Yeah. Big Mother's Day. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Good. Good. So let's get into some of the basics about the conservation district. Basically, the mission is to assist Marion County land users in conserving soil, water, and related natural resources by providing technical, financial, and educational services. But first, can you tell us how the Conservation District is funded?
Sure. The biggest source of funding is a permanent rate levy, a property tax, that the voters of Marion County in 2000 approved. And what that does is it gives the district a nickel for every $1,000 of assessed value. And that amounts to about $1.3 million a year for the district. And so that's our biggest source of funding. We also get grants from Oregon Department of Agriculture, usually provides grants to us for some special projects. There's different things that the emphasis and priorities that the ODA has, Oregon Department of Agriculture, and they provide us funding to help address some of those priorities. And it amounts to about we get about $1.6 or $7 million per year in funding with the property tax and then the additional grants that we're able to obtain.
And do you know how much money there is approximately per year that you do grant out?
Well, our biggest grant opportunity is the Landowner Assistance Program, and that's about $300,000 a year, and it's a matching grant where we put up to $7,500 to match for a landowner project. There are also some other grants that we have, too. There's educational grants and special project grants, which are for innovative projects. And so there's another $70,000 or $80,000 there as well. Last year, the last fiscal year, 2020 to 2021, we, through the Landowner Assistance Program, we actually granted $328,000 to 45 different landowners. And when you include the match that they had, it ended up to being about $1.5 million, affecting about 1,450 acres in the county. So pretty effective.
And so they apply, and it's a competitive grant, and then the board reviews them and decides?
Yeah, it is a competitive grant, depending on the number of applications. If we have more applications than money available, all the applications are scored, and money is made available based on how they rank out. And the staff works with the landowners to really ensure that they provide a quality application. So I would say the majority of them, in recent years anyway, have been able to be funded.
Neat. Can you give us some specifics about some of the projects?
Sure. The big ones of late have been irrigation efficiency projects, where converting like these big sprinkler irrigations to drip irrigation, and that just uses much less water. It's more targeted to the root zones of the plants. It's less runoff, less erosion, and it works out good for the landowner too, because there's less energy use. But there's a variety of projects. It can be from invasive species control to fencing off riparian areas for livestock, manure composting, planting pollinator habitat. The last year, we also had a number of issues because of the disasters in Marion County. We had the September 2020 wildfires and the ice storm of February 2021, and then the heat dome last summer in June. And so people were able to apply to help with some of those things, whether it's addressing some of the invasive species that moved in after the fire, or soil stabilization, or helping to clean up after the ice storm and stuff. So there's lots of different kinds of projects.
And do they report back to you guys?
Sure. Yeah. Again, the staff work closely with the landowners through the process, and then there's actually a completion report, and then there can be there's follow-up visits as well, and we get feedback too from just other landowners or partners and previous clients and that kind of thing. So we get quite a bit of feedback on the grants.
What do you think the most replicable type of project is that more people could take advantage of and learn from?
That's a good question. Our primary thing is water quantity and water quality. We have kind of a list of priorities, and water quantity and water quality are the two top things in terms of our strategy here. And certainly irrigation efficiency, and that's not just commercial crops, but it can also be homeowners and their lawns, and just learning how to use water effectively. It helps with water quality, you know, preventing runoff of soil or even contaminants and things, and helps the plants and helps the landowner by using less water, and it takes less energy to use less water. And so that, and certainly with the drought that we've been undergoing here in Oregon for a number of years now, it's probably one of the highest priorities and can be one of the biggest benefits for landowners.
Okay. How does your group relate to the Extension Service programs?
Well, I'm probably not the best one to answer that, Aileen. We have an education coordinator, and we actually do work with, like, OSU Extension, but how that all meshes, I'm probably not the best one to answer that.
Okay. I just thought of it, you know, I think that the Extension Service doesn't give grants. They give advice only, I think. But we can find out at a later time. So.
Sure. And the staff at the Marion Soil Water Conservation District also provide technical advice. The help that we provide is, you know, there's an educational component. There's a technical advice component. And then for those that require some assistance, there are also the grant opportunities.
And I know that you used to have a building on Hawthorne before COVID, and I know it's gone now. So is there a working office now? Because there were fabulous brochures there about all the things you're talking about.
Right. So this last year, we actually purchased our own building in Staten. And so we do have a building, still all those wonderful brochures, and it's at 408 3rd Street in Staten now. We were leasing the previous building, and we penciled it out, and we were able to get this building, and in just a matter of a few years, we should be well ahead of where we were.
Fabulous. And I'm sure that there's a website, too, that has a lot of the information.
Yeah, the website is probably our single best source of information. And you can search for Marion Soil and Water Conservation District, or if you go directly to the website, which is www.marionswcd.net.
Okay, good. Also, I think when we talked, you mentioned that first, how many board members are there? And I think you said that there's one vacancy. And is that, do you have to live in a certain area to apply for that vacancy?
Yes, there are 7 director positions on the board, which are elected positions. The county is divided up into 5 zones. And so there's one director from each of those 5 zones, and you have to live in that zone to be eligible. And then there are 2 at-large directors where you just need to be a registered voter within the district to be eligible. And we do currently have a vacancy for Zone 1, which is Northwest Marion County, so that area around St. Paul.
Mm. Okay.
Nobody ran for that in the 2020 election.
And how long are the terms?
They are 4-year terms. And so every even year, part of the board, it's usually three directors in 1 year and 4 directors in another. Every other even year come up for election.
Okay. We're about out of time, and I greatly appreciate your coming on the show with us today. Do you want to announce again, before we end this, the 2 events that are coming up?
Sure. Aileen, we have this first Friday event, which is this Friday on May 6th. It is at noon, and it is a Zoom call. It's free, but you do need to RSVP. And so if you go to the Marion SWCD website, look for First Friday event. We do it first Friday of each month. Sometimes take a couple months off in the summer, but go there and RSVP, and you'll be sent a Zoom link. The other thing is SWCD will be present at the Mother's Day Birding and Wildflower Festival at Silver Falls State Park this Saturday, May 7th, and we'll be there from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. to answer questions about the district, or if you have questions about native plants, there'll be staff there to help you.
Okay, perfect. And for our listeners, we've been speaking with Dave Boudot, Secretary Treasurer, Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. So thank you so much, Dave, and thank you for all you're doing and for what you've done with your own property to preserve wetlands permanently. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Eileen.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We are the voice of the water, and we must stand and protect her, 'cause without her we're nothing at all. We are the voice of the water, we are the voice of the water, and we must stand and protect her, 'cause without her we're nothing at all. This is the truth. Every cell in our bodies is dependent on this life-giving juice. Without her we die, make no mistake. All the money in the world can restore poisoned rivers. Voiceless earth, water, fire, and air. To be a voice for the voiceless earth, water, fire, and air. We are the voice of the water.
Voice of the water.
We are the voice of the water.
Voice of the water.
And we must stand and protect her, 'cause without her we're nothing at all.
We are the voice,
we are the voice of the water.
Voice of the water.
We are the voice of the water. We must stand and protect her, 'cause without her we're nothing at all.
We
must stand and protect her, 'cause without her. Without her, we're nothing. We are nothing at all.